This podcast is Entail Enhanced. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entail app.
Hi, I'm Anshul, YouTuber, Instagrammer, a real voice for the brown girls, and now an author. Pre-orders for What Would the Auntie Say, the book, are now available on Waterstones, WH Smith, Amazon, and all other major book retailers. Join me and some very special guests where we discuss taboo subjects and really give the aunties something to talk about. Today is the last episode of season two. Oh my God, I literally cannot believe we're here already. Still, this episode is a super special one as I'm joined by the beautiful model and activist Neelam Kaur Gill, where we discuss body image in the South Asian community. We dive into why there's so much pressure to look a certain way and meet a standard, and how to deal with the negative comments. I feel like there's so much judgment in our community, and people are so easy to tell you you're too this or too that. And I hope from today's episode, you're able to find some self-confidence and be able to turn a blind eye to what the aunties might have to say about you. Okay, I'm going to actually start by asking you to introduce yourself, because I ask everyone to do this. So please introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Neelam. I'm 26. I'm a model and an activist, originally from Coventry. Now I live in London. And yeah, I'm excited to be here today and speaking to you finally on this topic.
I know, me too. I just want to say, like, firstly, congratulations on all of your huge achievements. Like, you're the first Indian model to be featured in British Vogue and so many other, like, first sort of milestones for the brown girl. So congratulations to you. And it's so good to see another brown girl, an Indian girl, doing big mainstream ass things.
And thank you so much. It honestly means a lot, because I feel like that's the reason I do it. And when I see other people, other Indians in like the industry doing big things, it makes me so proud. That's why I wanted to like come on this podcast and have the talk with you, because I think it's so important that we, you know, stick together as well.
Definitely, especially since, I don't know about you, but for me, I've always felt like with some Asian girls, or even in the Asian community, there can be like quite a divide or like a bit of competition. So it's nice to actually stick together with people that are like, that you can relate to.
Yeah, I agree. And I remember that when I first came into the industry, just feeling like so shy and so out of place. And now I've been doing it a while, I always think like, if I see anyone else younger than me, or even if they're my age or older, I always think I don't want people to feel how I felt. So I try and like go out my way to be nice or be welcoming, because it can be quite like scary and isolating as well, because it's not like any of us kind of have background in this experience or in this field, you know what I mean? So we're like finding our way. Yeah. And it's nice to just meet people along the way that you can like get on with and have each other's backs.
Yeah, it's almost like anything, you know, like when you start a new school or something.
Yeah.
And at least like if people above you or like that have been in the school are a bit nicer.
It does feel quite clicky. It does. So it's nice when you meet nice people.
Oh, that's good. And you started this when you were, what, you got scouted at 14, right?
I got scouted when I was 14. And I got scouted actually really, really young. Like, I think the first time I was maybe even like 12.
Wow.
But then the time that I took it seriously was when I was 14. From 12 to 14, I started getting scouted a lot. And I realized, okay, maybe this is more than a scam, because we didn't believe it. I was just like, no way could I be a model. And also I'm from Coventry, so it's not like I grew up with, you know, in London, it's a bit more common for people to get scouted and there's agencies here, but there's nothing like that where I'm from. So yeah, I got scouted and signed at 14, but I didn't start working till I was 18, because I lived in Coventry and I was like staying in school and just completing my studies.
Yeah, well, that's still incredible. How did your parents like react or feel when you were getting scouted or even started modeling?
When I was getting scouted, it's so funny. Like, I actually didn't even tell anyone, because I didn't think anyone would believe me. Because like I said, I didn't feel like pretty in school, or I just didn't feel like I could be a model. So even when I did officially get signed, I remember I'd go on like my agency's website all the time and check that I'm still on there, because I kept feeling like they're just going to take me off one day, because I didn't even feel like worthy enough to be on there. Like I'd click on the link and look at the other girls and think, how am I on here? When I first got scouted, my parents were like quite apprehensive because, like I said, they didn't know anything about the industry and they honestly thought people were just trying to scam us out of money. They thought it was just a scam, you know, like people are pretending that I could be a model and they're gonna like scam us from loads of money. And then when I actually signed, they were like happy for me, but I think because I was so young, the main focus was just staying in school and completing my studies. And it's only when I was 18 and I actually booked my first job, which was Burberry, then I think everyone was like, whoa, so this is real, you know?
Yeah.
Before then it was just like this kind of secret thing that I'd got signed to an agency, but I didn't publicize it. I didn't really tell anyone about it. I was shy to admit, oh my gosh, I've been signed, because like I said, I didn't feel good enough.
Oh my God, I bet. And I like just being that young and being like a teenager as well, I feel like most girls would feel like they're not worthy or they don't feel pretty enough, because I mean that is like girls today, they don't have to go through like the hard stuff that we did, because I swear when I was like 14 I didn't look like this.
I always say to my sister, like I have two younger sisters, and like my sister Jasmine, she's in uni now, and I'm like, God, like people don't really go through the awkward phase anymore.
Yeah, they don't get the ugly stage.
Yeah, yeah. But I know that even if they don't go through that, everyone, I feel like they have it harder in certain ways. Like they're so exposed on social media and it's like added pressure for them.
That's true.
As like young teens, you know, which kind of scares me.
Yeah,
because I feel like at least with our generation a bit, we got to be like kids and live in the moment and have like even bad hair days or bad makeup days, whereas I feel like there's so much pressure on young people these days to be perfect, to have their life together, to become a CEO, to do this, to do that. Yeah. And it's so much.
Yeah, and also like almost like having like a quote unquote like a normal job or a 9-to-5 or something academic isn't good enough anymore, well, to some people. Yeah. And like, yeah, you have to do this whole Instagram or influencer life, or
I think social media's glamorized that though, because even when I first started modeling, maybe when I was in school a few people would want to be like a model or a footballer, but a lot of people's aspirations were different. Whereas now, don't get me wrong, I think it's great if you have a natural passion to want to start your own business or be an influencer, but I do think there's also that added pressure that certain jobs are more in than others. And I don't know, it's a really like crazy time for kids to grow up in. So I do think about that a lot.
Yeah. And like you said, like some of these jobs have been glamorized, but actually like you and me know, I'm not a model, but obviously doing all the YouTube content and all of that, and you doing all your modeling work, it takes a lot of sacrifice and hard work and time and dedication. And if I'm honest, a lot of tears behind the scenes as well. So it's not always that glamorous. And I don't know, maybe it's our responsibility to show a little bit more of that as well.
I completely agree. That's why I always try and be really transparent when I just like, even on my social media, I try and paint a very realistic story, because I know it's easy for people to see like a condensed or glamorized version of it. But there's also a thin line, because I don't want people to think I'm ungrateful or complaining. But I just want people to know the truth of what they're in for, that it's not like sunshine and rainbows every single day.
Yeah,
it's difficult, and there's a lot of hard work. And I always say it's a career, it's not a job. Like a job, you can go home and switch off and you have your hours that you clock in. If you commit to being in this industry, it is your life, it's your career. You go home, and if you get a call or a job, then you've got to go and do it, because if not, then it's like your reputation at stake, you know? So you have some perks of being able to travel and meet amazing people, but then you have another side of it, which is like mentally very taxing to be in an industry that is pretty cutthroat as well, you know? Luckily, there are some nice people you meet along the way, but there are definitely some people you meet that are not the best. And yeah, I think it's important that that people know that as well, because I think now with social media, it's so easy for people to just post how amazing everything is and how perfect everything is, and to just post like a filtered version of their life.
Yeah, it's so true. It is so true. And like, I feel exactly the same way as you. Like, I want to share like the realness behind everything, but at the same time, I don't want to make it sound like I'm ungrateful. Like, oh my God, this is so much hard work. Like, no one can do it. It's just me that can put up with, you know, it, sometimes it can like sound like that or come across that way, but like, yeah, I don't know, maybe we need to find some sort of balance between showing how that it is like you can enjoy this career, but at the same time, yeah, it takes a lot of dedication and hard work. But I wanted to talk to you on sort of body image and sort of body confidence because of the industry that you come from, and I wanted to know, like, with the sort of job and the career that you have, do you feel like there's a constant pressure to look a certain way, or is there that pressure?
Definitely. I think only just within the past like year, really, during lockdown, working on yourself is like a constant journey, but I think being in isolation and being like living by myself and being in lockdown by myself made me really address a lot of things, and it just made me realize like how unhealthy my relationship was with myself and my body image. And I definitely think being in the modeling industry has perpetuated that, but even before then, I've always grown up feeling very insecure of the way I looked. I was never a confident girl ever, you know, in my face or my body. And then to go from being that person who's shy and awkward and glasses and braces and hates taking photos to then being a model and being put on a pedestal and told you're gorgeous and you're perfect, and you know, it's like so many conflicting opinions, but none of it matters if you don't feel that way within yourself. And also the industry is so fickle that one day I could go to work and they may be, you know, like showering me with compliments. The next day I could go to work and people are talking about me in front of my face saying I'm too fat, or we can't put her in this outfit, like it doesn't look good, or her shoulders are too broad, or my agency is telling me I've got to go on a liquid only diet, a juice cleanse. And so it's like, it's very, very, very difficult. And I think only now as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that your relationship with yourself is the most important one you'll have. And it sounds really weird, but since being a model, it's actually made me place my importance on my looks like less. It's really weird because I know other people with my job, my whole kind of self-worth is based in the way I look. That's what people judge me on. But I actually think since being a model, it's made me realize that I'm way more than my looks. Like, don't get me wrong, it took me a long time to get to this stage. But I think now, when you've been through so much and you've heard like every criticism of your body humanly possible, you know, people are seeing you under such a like microscopic lens, you just become like very numb to it. It's not saying some days it doesn't hurt me, but it's just realizing that everyone will always have an opinion, whether it's good or bad. It's everyone's going to have an opinion, but the opinion that matters most is my own, you know.
Yeah, it's so true. And I guess in your instance, when these people around you, like what I'm imagining from what you're telling me is like you about to be on a set, and you know when like there's like a stylist there, the photographer's there, and they're throwing out their thoughts and their comments, and they're about you, but they're not directly like targeting you, if that makes sense. But you're still there listening to all of it. And I can totally imagine. It's like you still have to hear it, but in your head, you just have to sort of block it out at the same time, which is actually quite challenging. But I wanted to ask you, like, yeah, with being in that sort of environment and hearing all of these things, how does this affect you mentally and physically?
I would say mentally, it has had a big impact on me. Like, this may sound silly, but I think a big reason why I even like dress the way I do when I'm not working, I never wear makeup. I don't do anything to my hair. I wear like very, very baggy clothes, because when I'm working or if I go to an event, I'm obviously expected to be like really glamorous and show off my body and be in like full glam. So when I'm not working, I cherish those moments. But it's also because sometimes I just feel like I want to be invisible, you know, because when you're at work and so much of your importance is placed on like the way you look and the whole process of getting ready, it's nice in some moments, but when I'm not working, I don't want to think about that at all. I don't want to be spending ages in the morning worrying about how I look. I don't want to be in public, and I don't even want people to be looking at my body in public, if that even makes sense.
Not say I walk around
and people look at my body, but you know what I mean? I just want to be in baggy clothes and really comfortable. And I think that has contributed, a lot of that has come with this job, because before I started modeling, I was the opposite, like very glamorous. I used to love to dress up, but when it becomes a part of your job, you then cherish those moments that you get to, you know, just keep it simple instead.
Yes. And no, I can completely relate with you like on some level, because for me, like, makeup is my thing. So when I'm not in front of the camera and doing these like extravagant sort of makeup looks, I am literally like, most of the time I'm in no makeup whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I prefer not to wear it. It's only like when you have to, because otherwise then you don't enjoy it when you do, if you're constantly like, if you're always dolled up, like, when do you actually get to enjoy yourself? And I actually love that feeling when I've taken my makeup off at the end of the day and I'm like, ha, ah, there I am. Cause that's me. Like, yeah, that's how I
live a double life. It's so funny. All my friends, I feel like, yeah, I can go to an event and be so dressed up.
Yeah.
And it would have taken me like hours to get ready.
And you love it when you're doing it, right?
Yeah, I love it. But then I come home and I'm just taking my hair out in the shower, wash everything off, and I would go to bed and I feel like myself again. Because sometimes I feel like to get into that character, it's almost like, I feel like it's the alter ego, because I don't walk every day thinking like, oh my gosh, and super confident. But when you've been getting ready for hours, you've got your hair and your makeup done, your outfit's on, then you do feel like an elevated version of yourself. But on a daily basis, you want to feel like yourself, like human and grounded.
Yes. Oh my god, absolutely. I can completely relate to you on that level. Like, and I guess that's just, I mean, who wants to be constantly looking like 10 out? I mean, I don't want to look 10 out of 10 all day every day, because then when there is like a special occasion or something, then you don't feel that special
then you can
anymore.
Really make an impact. That's what I always say. I'm like, if on my like normal days I look a bit bummy, you know, when I get dressed up, like, that will be the real impact.
Yeah, exactly. Because then people are like, oh, wow.
Like, you look nice today.
exactly. Yeah, my family are like, when they see me obviously looking like a bum 90% of the time. I live in a tracksuit as well. Like, everything you're saying, I'm like, I live in a tracksuit, baggy clothes. So the moment that I'm like dressed up, makeup on, it's like, oh, okay, what's happened to you?
I feel you, girl. I feel you.
But just going back to like you being in your sort of industry and you having to hear difficult things that people say about you and that being challenging. If I'm honest with you, I feel like the South Asian community or the Indian aunties aren't far off from like putting this exact same amount of pressure on young girls, because they, you know, they easily throw away comments and they don't even think, you know, it's almost like you're standing there and they will make a comment and it just comes out and they just say things like, you know, about weight, about skin, about height, everything. Like, for example, I'm short and I can't change that, but yet they'll like feel the need to tell me that I'm short or like make it a thing. Or one time I had like acne scarring and I turned up to my auntie's house and you could see it was acne scarring, and it had actually taken a lot for me that day to like not wear a lot of makeup because I just didn't want to. So I just felt like, okay, it will be fine. Like, I bet no one will even notice and I'm just making it a bigger deal in my head. And the first thing this auntie was like, oh, what's happened to your face? And I honestly just felt so shitty. But like the South Asian community and Indian aunties can sometimes, put this extra pressure on you. What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely like relate to what you're saying, especially with what you mentioned about acne, because I dealt with adult acne, like hormonal acne, maybe 2 years ago now. And again, I feel like bad complaining about it because I know there's much worse problems that people go through in the world, and I don't want it to seem like a shallow topic, but it really does impact your confidence so much, like even your mental health. For me, it was really difficult because obviously with my job and working with people. I would go to set sometimes, and I remember I hadn't worked with this makeup artist in a few years, and she was like, oh my God, what happened to you? Your skin used to be perfect.
Oh no.
And you know what I just thought, like, oh my God, like people don't realize the effect their words have on others.
Right.
And what they may be going through. But I think it can be the same thing within our community, because it's just a different generation where they are very blunt and they don't realize that their words hurt, you know? So with me, my main comment I get whenever I'm around like family or aunties or whoever it may be is my weight, like honestly. And like you said, my height, like I can't change my height. I can't change that I'm tall. But it's like, oh my gosh, you're so tall. Like, how are we going to find a man to marry you that's taller? And it's like, oh really? God.
Yeah.
Really? And then it's about my weight. Like every time I go home, every time it's, oh my gosh, you've lost even more weight. I'm like, I really haven't. I genuinely just look the same. I'm exactly the same size. And oh, you need to fatten up and all these different type of things. And it's just, honestly, for me, it's like in one ear and out the other, but it is draining, especially when you're going through certain things. Like with me in the past, when I've been really depressed, my weight has definitely suffered. Like when I've been really low, my eating isn't good, and I've definitely dropped weight, and it's something I'm conscious of, and it's something that I'm not proud of, but I know when I'm losing weight and it makes me feel self-conscious. So when
you're that's probably more stressful for you and adding like probably making you lose more weight because of the stress.
Exactly.
And yeah. And it's like a knock-on effect.
Exactly. So when you're already feeling insecure and then you built up the courage to kind of push past that, and then someone confirms your insecurity, it's the worst. Like it really is the worst. But I don't even know, because our community in that sense is very cutthroat. Like they just throw out these passing comments, and they probably don't realize how much it will affect someone else as well.
Yeah, and they don't realize like what you could be going through just that day. Like for me, I'm the opposite to you. So I've never been like really skinny, but I put on weight really easily. And then when I'm stressed, I don't lose weight. I eat. So I need to comfort eat. And then I put on more weight and then I'm more stressed. And honestly, I don't speak very nicely about myself or my body ever. Like I probably call myself fat every day, or I look at myself and I'm just like, oh, you look like shit.
It's so difficult, isn't it? Because I feel like as women, we're so good at giving other people advice, but like we can't take it ourselves.
Yeah.
It's, like I always say it, I'm like, I would never ever speak to someone like the way I talk to myself in my head. Yeah. Never. Yeah. But then we speak to ourselves like that all day long.
Literally, like all the time I'm like, oh, I look ugly today, or oh, like I put a lot of focus on my weight, and that's the thing that really stresses me out. And then there'll be a day where I'm like, I'm like sort of starting to try and accept myself. And then my mum so easily, like all the time, if I like, I'm trying a new dress on or something, she's like, yeah, it looks good, but you need to lose some weight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this function's coming up, so make sure you lose some weight before then. And it's like, and I try not to listen. I try also to say, can you not make those comments? But it's literally like, it's almost
it's
like
ingrained
they think,
in them.
Yeah. And they think that they're doing you a favor as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it actually is more harm than good.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah. Why do you think they put this sort of pressure or have this expectation for young women to look a certain way?
Firstly, I think it's a generational thing. I think they probably grew up with it themselves, if not worse, you know, because they were expected to be this level of perfection. So I think for our generation, they probably think we have things easier in certain ways. So for them, it's not a big deal to just make a little comment like, oh, you should improve on this, because most of them have had to like immigrate to this country, work like multiple jobs to make a living and like really, you know, take care of the family at the same time, cook for their husbands, be the perfect host, be the perfect woman. So they've had that immense load of pressure. And I also think a lot of it, not just directed to them, but in general, is to do with insecurity. I think people that make those type of comments, it always comes from somewhere. You know, I think if you're secure in yourself, or I don't think you would feel the need to go out of your way to do that.
That's
and I think
true.
Everyone is on their own journey as well.
That's true. I also think, like, you know, where they're putting pressure, I think the reason like my mum does it is because she like we're like a representation of her. And it's almost like, you know, she wants, not that she's not going to love me or whatever. And she's probably not even saying it. Well, I know she's not saying it with any malice or whatever. She's saying it because she knows that, like, I don't know, maybe I'll even be happier if I look the way I want to look or something. Yeah, I think it's almost like image is so important within our culture.
I know. That's one thing that really frustrates me, because I think so many things are swept under the rug as long as the outside image is perfect. You know, like within our community, I think a lot of people aren't willing to have certain conversations. But as long as like the rest of the wider family thinks that you're this perfect unit, then it's fine.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I've literally spent like my whole life like perfecting putting on a brave face, and like just through my whole childhood we sort of just had to like smile and get on with it. Like something would have happened, maybe we had some drama at home, and then like we have to go somewhere and we literally have to switch it off and be happy, or be a happy family, or seem like we're all good. And I literally spent all my life doing that. And then I think that also plays a massive part in, like, I don't know, yeah, like other ways how you see yourself and your body image and your face. As long as you look good, and maybe, I don't know, yeah, if you're dressed right and all of that, it seems to the outside people that you're well, you're happy and all of those other things. But actually, the deeper issues are getting ignored.
I completely agree. And also boundaries, like when you grow up in that environment, especially as Indians, it's like we have to, we never say no to anything, you know, we're so accommodating, which is one thing I love. But then at the same time, when you grow older, it's so difficult when you start like working or just trying to like navigate your way as a young woman or young person. And then just, I will feel like extreme guilt if I can't manage to do everything or cram everything in. Like, and I just realize I'm only one person, but a lot of it has to do with upbringing and feeling like you can't say no to anyone and you always have to go above and beyond. And it's difficult when you are trying to figure all that out on your own as well.
Yeah, that is so true. I just want to go back to you saying that, like, you know, your family always, whenever you go back home and they always make a comment about your weight, or they think that you've lost weight or blah blah. How do you deal with that situation? Like, what do you say in that moment?
I'll kind of brush it off. I'll just be like, I haven't. I'm exactly the same. That's all I do. I can't really say much else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is true. But it must get frustrating, because I find myself, like, when I've said the same thing so many times, I'm like, I end up snapping, because I'm like, you're not helping.
No, I do. Like, sometimes I do. I don't really snap to them, but sometimes it's more just like I'll call my friends afterwards and vent. I think it's because I just get it so much.
I also just want to touch on, like, I feel like the auntie sort of also, or the culture and the community, puts this pressure on us, because it, like we said before, them not being able to find someone suitable for marriage for you if you don't look a certain way, you know, if, you know, because you're tall or I'm short or you're really slim or I've got some weight, it's like nothing is good enough. And like it all basically, I think, leads to them wanting you to be sort of married off, and being married is the be all and end all.
It's like the prize.
Yeah. It's like everything they lead up to is like, oh, she's married.
So true. I feel, in a way, I feel lucky that I kind of like moved to London and started my career, because if I didn't and I was living at home in this position, I would have had to hear that marriage talk constantly. You know, don't get me wrong, I still hear it when I'm at home and whatnot, but I think everyone's excuse for me is like, oh well, she's busy working.
Oh my god, same.
But yeah, it's
thank
still,
god, let's stay busy.
Yeah, but it's still really like draining that I think women in our community, I mean in general in life, but especially in our community, are held this different standard that men are held to. You know, I don't even feel like men have as much pressure on their appearance as how women do. And I do think a lot of that is down to women. It doesn't matter if they're like the nicest people in the world, kind and giving, they may be super intelligent or whatever it may be, have so many great qualities about them and a great degree. But the main thing comes down to, are they going to be able to find a match? Will they get married? What type of man can they get? And that really frustrates me. But I feel like it's so deeply like embedded in our culture. Like, where, how do you even begin to tackle that? Or where do you go with that?
Exactly. And you know what you just said about, like, you don't think that men even have the same amount of sort of pressure on how they look. And I couldn't agree more, because even if I think about body hair, for example, we as Indians are, we're hairy people. And like, there is this, for me, I mean, I've always grown up with aunties, family, friends, like everyone is obsessed. Like, I mean, I've sort of been sucked into it myself and had laser and all of that. But that's because all my life, like all the people around me,
you didn't have any choice.
Yeah. And they've made me feel like having the hair that I have on my body is ugly.
I remember being in, before I went into year 7 secondary school, and I was like taken to go get my eyebrows done, to get like my first waxes done. But it was done in a sense of love, because they didn't want me to like go to school and get picked on.
Yeah.
But sometimes I look back at my pictures when I was a kid and I'm like 13 or something crazy, and my eyebrows are threaded so thin, it looks unnatural on my face, because I've got a baby face.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is my eyebrow that thin?
Yeah.
Because now I have them kind of the natural shape and they're thick.
Yeah.
So it's weird to think that they were literally like, they just look like a little line.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, obviously it's because I was so young and I just started getting them threaded and I just let, you know, the woman do whatever, do her thing on my face. But looking back now, it just looks unnatural.
Yeah. Yeah. And I literally went through the same thing. And because obviously, like, I thought that the hair or even big eyebrows or whatever was ugly, like I would let her go thinner and thinner and thinner. And yeah, it when I look back at these photos, they look awful. But I also remember, like, I basically used to have really, really hairy arms and like literally like little gorilla arms. That's what my brother would call them anyway. And I remember like taking a razor to the arms and having this like patch of no hair, but I was just so desperate to get rid of them, because I was like, also I think it's the fact that, you know, maybe we live in a Western society as well, and we're mixed with other kids or other people, so we sort of want to do these things so that we fit in as well.
I 100% remember being in school and like seeing white girls and seeing that they had blonde hair and thinking like, wow, imagine having blonde hair, like you can't even see it.
I
was like, wow, look at her legs, she's like, she's got hairy legs but you can't see it because it's blonde. Whereas with me, because I have dark hair, you can see it. And I remember just being like amazed by that at such a young age, where you shouldn't have even really been noticing that stuff, but I guess it was kind of, we were just aware of it.
Yeah, we were. And it was literally the same for me. I was like, wow, they're so lucky. And then I remember this one auntie that we have, like she would always, when we went there, she'd always pull out her waxing machine.
No way.
Yeah.
I feel like every Indian family has like, someone could do threading, someone could do waxing, someone could do this. It's like, and they'll do it on each other as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? I must say, in the first lockdown, I learned how to thread my own eyebrows. So I was like, there's no way I'm getting through lockdown with not getting my eyebrows done.
Girl, I didn't have anything done. And the worst thing was, oh God, my eyebrows were just honestly like blocks. Like they needed a bit of shape or something. And then the worst thing was, during the first lockdown, like last year in March, everyone wanted to do self shoots. And I remember my manager was like, Vogue India, I want to send you all these looks. And I was thinking, oh my God, you want me to do a photo shoot at home with the way I'm looking right now? It's really not cute. I'm not feeling confident. And you want me to shoot it on an iPhone? Like, no, you know, I'm like, I could really do with the additional help right now. But
just the eyebrows, it makes a world of a difference. Like,
I did it, but I was just like, God,
did you?
Man.
Did they come out good?
Yeah, they did. They did come out good. I mean, it did take me like literally days to get everything done. But it made me feel conscious too, because I'm at home in lockdown and I'm really just out here, you know, it's like it's not even about the way I look, but it's just the worst I've ever felt. You know, I didn't feel good in myself. Yeah. And then you're seeing people on Instagram and I'm like, how do you look so perfect? I'm just not understanding this. Yeah. And it's not just a filter. You're naturally flawless. So I was like, oh, I need to like detox from this app a bit, because I'm like, while I'm stuck in the house, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. Like, this is really not making me feel any better about myself. So let me try not to look at this right now.
Yes. Oh my God. And that's another thing. Like, not only do we have pressure from our community, but we also have pressure, like, and it's literally just on our phones. It's in our hands. Like, we just have to go on Instagram and there it is. And it's that instant pressure, like, to, and we, like, I know I compare myself a lot, and that's probably half the reason why I speak so negatively about myself, because I'm looking at like perfection in like quotation marks, and I'm in my head probably subconsciously comparing myself to them and being like, well, I don't look like that, my waist doesn't go in like that, or do you know what I mean? And
same.
Yeah,
but that's why I love speaking to other women, because I feel like through having these conversations you realize that we all go through the same things, like all of us go through the same things. And I can say that from experience, even being in the industry, like I've met some of my icons or people that I think are just perfection inside and out.
Yeah.
And they feel that way too. So I think, wow, if they can feel that way, like, we're all human. Everyone has these moments and everyone goes through these, you know, processes. But it's just important to like give yourself that grace and space that you would give other people, you know. It's easier said than done when you are living inside your own head and you feel insecure and you don't have the best self-talk, but I think you always have to remind yourself of what would you say to someone else in this situation.
Yeah, and actually that's such a nice reminder that you're saying that you've met some of your biggest icons in your industry and even they feel like that. For me, hearing that, I'm like, okay, if they feel like that, then what am I doing?
Exactly, and that's why I think it's important for us to even just share the way we feel, because I know there'll be so many girls who will look at you and think, oh my God, she is perfect. How could she ever feel insecure? Or if I look like her, I would never feel insecure. And then to hear you say that, they're probably in awe. So I think it's important for you to be open and honest about that too, to let them know that, hey, I don't feel great every day, or this is the reality of being me and that's okay. And we're just on this journey. I think that's really like powerful in itself too.
Yeah, definitely. And like I was saying before, I feel like we're all so sort of harsh on ourselves, as well as having to listen to the aunties and them passing judgment and all of that. So from that, like, what advice would you give to someone that is feeling the pressure to look a certain way?
It sounds really cheesy, but I do think you have to find the power and the strength within yourself. Like, you have to find a way to silence that outside noise and listen to yourself and figure out what it is that you want. Because I'm all for doing things that will make you feel more confident. If you want to, whatever it may be, if you want to start working out to feel good in yourself, do that. But don't do these things for the pressures of others or for the pressures of how you think you should look or feel, you know? I also think I know it's extra difficult when you're like living with family or you're in that environment and you're stuck there, you know, because you don't have your own space. But I think it's important that you set some sort of routine out for your day, so no matter what happens, you have that like safe space, or you start your day on a certain energy, whatever it may be for you, whether it's like praying, meditation, journaling, affirmations, even like if you're getting ready, listening to a podcast or listening to music that makes you happy. But having those like little moments in the day where you can feel at peace in your own head and remind yourself of the things that you deserve. Because I do think being on this like journey of self-love, you have to take, like, you have to see it as a commitment, you know, because every day we're not going to be committed to feeling this way about ourselves. So I always say you have to do one thing in your day that adds to that, whether it's like reading or whether it's podcasts or whether it's affirmations. But you have to do these things, then you'll slowly get into that habit where it becomes your learned behavior, you know?
Yeah. And how do you get through like the tougher days where you are feeling a little bit low? Because for me, like, I'll have a good few days and then all of a sudden it just dips. And then it's really, really hard to come back out of that again. So how do you get through those moments?
I'm not going to lie. I feel like because of my job, I'm not really allowed. Like, even if I have those moments, I have to be on set. I have to be physically present. So I feel like I am quite good at just flipping switching a switch. And like I said, I feel like it's just a character for me. That doesn't mean I still don't find it hard. I will literally be there physically on the day, but I don't feel present, you know? And as soon as I'm done, I'm back in my own clothes. I go in the car home, I go home, and I'll probably like have a shower, crawl into bed, like order food and just sleep the day off, you know? But if I'm not working and I'm having a low moment, my number one thing I do is we'll get off social media. That's why like so many people will always be like, oh my God, like, where have you been? Or because I'll take breaks from it where I just don't want to post anything. I don't want to post a story. I just don't want to think about it. I'm like, I need to center myself in the real world and figure out how I'm feeling in the real world first before I can go on there.
Yeah, that's actually such good advice. It's not easy to also just take a break from social media as well, considering like all of us can be quite, I don't know, it's just so easy to access that it can be quite addictive as well. And it does consume so much of our lives and our days.
But now it's about, I think I've gone the other way. Like now I've become more disconnected from it. I struggle to spend more time on it. Like I have to kind of force myself to be a bit more active, because during lockdown, I didn't have anything to post. I didn't feel motivated to be taking content. I live on my own, like I said. So I'm like, what am I going to be doing? Taking pictures of my daily walk? Like this is not a vibe for me.
No.
So during that time, I became really disconnected from it. And then I just didn't want to come back on. Like, honestly, I was like, oh, I'm so done with this. And now I have to kind of force myself to be a bit more motivated. But I would definitely say the stuff I post is probably different to pre-pandemic.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel exactly the same, where I'm just like, well, I live at home with my parents, so it's also not that exciting, to be honest. So I'm like, well, what am I gonna post? You know what I mean? My mom's making dal like again. So like I've really not got much to say here. So I ended up disconnecting because there's not much to share. And now I'm like, oh my God, now I'm trying to force myself back into that. But for others that maybe it's not their job or for their career, I think it's about making like conscious decisions for themselves. And I don't know, even if you are going to be on these platforms and stuff like that, follow people that inspire you and follow people that make you feel good, or unfollow the people that
the thing is, it's so hard because there's I don't know, I feel so guilty for like unfollowing.
Yeah, I know, me too. But yes, I do. I do as well. But then I'm someone that, like, even in real life, I can quite easily cut people off. Like,
what's your star sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Oh, okay, your earth sign like me. I'm a Taurus.
Oh, but yeah. Like, if people don't add value into my life, I can easily.
Yeah, because Virgos are so, like, methodical and you're kind of, like, perfectionist. So yes. I feel like you're very, like, are you in or are you out?
Yeah, literally. I'm like, if you're going to be my friend, you need to be my best friend or go away. Like,
yeah, but I agree with what you're saying. Like, your timeline is what you're consuming on a daily basis. So I do think make sure that what you're seeing on there is what you want to see. If you want to follow loads of influencers for like fashion or beauty kind of inspiration, then do that. If you want to follow quotes pages, if you want to follow whatever it may be, cooking pages, but follow who you want to follow. I know it sounds so simple, but it is so true, because it's your curated feed that you're digesting every day.
Exactly. Like, no one else is, like, no one's forcing you to go and look at these, like, maybe some bodies that are unrealistic and things like that. Just yeah, like, it's up to you. And if you're too scared to press that unfollow button, just mute.
Need to give some advice there.
Yeah, like, just press mute and, you know, just warm yourself up with the mute, and then they'll slowly disappear, and then you'll find the courage to one day just press unfollow. And I honestly, it feels so good.
Oh my God. It is so true though, that your timeline it does impact your day, what you're seeing on there. Yeah. Mine is pretty much all like nail stuff now. Like, since lockdown's been lifted a bit and I've been getting my nails done, I've been so into nail art. And because I've like been engaging with it, my whole explore page is just nails.
I love nail art. Like, I literally follow so many.
Yeah, me too, but it
so
actually makes
many.
Me happy.
Yeah, it's, and I just think it's so cool and creative, like what people can come up with. I have one last question for you, and then we're going to play like a quick word association game.
Okay.
So the question is, what message would you send to the talking aunties or family members that are putting pressure on young girls or guys that are just trying to live their best lives?
I would say to try and be more mindful, because I do think a lot of them don't realize the impact their words have. I do think if they realize that people are probably holding on to some of those opinions for their whole life, they would feel some level of guilt and shame. So I would say be mindful, you know, and be kind. Just realize that because you think something, it doesn't always have to be verbalized, and treat people with compassion, because you never know what they could be going through behind the scenes as well.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Okay, so I'm going to play a quick fire question game. So I'm going to say a word and you're going to say the first word that comes to your mind.
Okay, cool.
Okay, first one is aunties.
Junni, that's what came to my mind.
Junni. Bofi.
Sweet.
Yeah. Weddings.
Fun.
Swear word.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's literally always the one that comes to my mind. Okay, money.
Abundance.
Makeup.
Lipstick. I don't even know why I thought that, because I hardly wear lipstick, but that came to my mind.
Family.
Love.
Chai.
Why am I thinking Malai? That is just so weird.
Dogs.
What's that breed called again? I can't even remember.
Pomeranian?
No.
Chihuahua?
No, it's like, damn, I can't remember, but it's the breed that like most Punjabis have this dog.
Oh,
you know the one
Wala.
I mean? No, not one.
Pitbull.
No, is it a like retriever or something? I'm Googling
it right now. Like a Labrador.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what came to my head.
And the last one, coronavirus.
I mean, I pray that we're seeing the end of it. That's more than one word, but that's what comes to my head.
I think that one needs more than one word anyway. Just how stressful it is. Oh my God, thank you so much for being on my podcast today. You've been such an amazing guest. Can you tell everyone where they can find you? And if you've got anything exciting coming up, please let them know.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Instagram. I think, yeah, Instagram and TikTok, I think is like the only socials I'm using, but it's at NeelamKG. And in terms of work, I can't really, it's so hard because I feel like you can't speak about things till they're out. So I'll just say what I did recently. But I just did my TED talk. I released that yesterday. So if anyone wants to watch that, the link is in my bio. And yeah, I'm
really glad. And there's
really
a snippet on your feed
we got to,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a snippet on my page, but I posted the full link in my bio. It's on YouTube. But yeah, I'm really happy we got to do this. I'm happy we got to talk. And yeah, it's been so nice to just catch up with you.
And there we have it, guys. That is the end of the episode and the end of season 2. And what an amazing guest Neelam was. Oh my God. I literally could have chatted to her all day. Once again, I just want to say thank you so much, Neelam, for joining me today for such an important conversation and being so open and honest about your own experiences. I really hope you guys found today's episode helpful and valuable. And if you're listening on the Entel app, there'll be direct links to everything we spoke about in today's episode. Before I go, please subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. And of course, don't forget to pre-order your copy of What Would the Aunties Say, the book, which is out August 19th, 2021. This is me signing out season 2. Thank you so much, guys, for listening and all your support along the way, and to all of my incredible guests for making this season so special. Sending you guys so much love. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.